Hey, Bears fans, this is Cole Wright from Marquee Sports Network. Now, we know you can never get enough Bears, so join us Tuesday for Bear Essentials, a recap of this week's Bears action and analysis of the week ahead. Then, we'll re-air this week's Bears game at 7 o'clock on Marquee Sports Network.
Waddle and Sylvie, weekdays, 2 to 6.
Follow on Twitter at Waddle and Sylvie and at TWaddle87, ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
All right, if you missed the Bears game last night, you didn't miss much. If you missed the Theo Epstein press conference, he kind of expected
that, too.
Yeah, we expected that. I mean, soon, at least. I thought he would still come back and at least, like, help out or advise. But it was a clean break.
I think you and I both had the same feeling, though, that, look, with a lot of big decisions, or so it appears, to be made about some of these players and their destinies, that would be odd for Theo to make a long-term decision on what they want to do with Chris Bryant or with Javi Baez and him not be part of the organization in a long-term fashion. I thought this was a very professional way for him to actually separate himself from the organization on that front.
Right, even without COVID. They have these huge decisions to make.
It'd be different if, like, Chris Bryant was signed to a long-term deal, Javi was signed to a long-term deal, and all the other things that are up in the air weren't up in the air.
Oh, yeah, they're at a crossroads. Yes. Right. Why let someone navigate the crossroads if they're not going to be here to see it through?
I think that's a good business decision on the Cubs' behalf. I think it's a good decision on Theo's behalf.
Theo said that he's going to become a Cubs season ticket holder and that they will live in Chicago, at least until he gets his new job, wherever
that
may be.
Until it gets cold and then...
Well, I think he's a cold weather guy. He grew up in Boston, and now he's here. He said he loves it in Chicago. He met the media for about an hour. I don't think there was anything earth-shattering that stood out to you? Because not for me.
No, I didn't hear it all. Like, I got to be honest with you. I kind of push away from all management and coach talk right now. I'm inundated with it, and my brain swells.
It's turning your stomach, yeah.
Well, it's just like this. Again, I'm not an apathetic Bears fan right now. But by the same token, I find it hard to drum up an intense anger because I've seen the same damn thing now for 33 straight games, basically.
Yeah, I want to get into that, too.
It's been over 2 years.
I want to get into that, too. Joe on the southwest side, though, wanted to bring up a thought about Theo. Joe, you're on Waddle and Sylvie. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, guys. How are you?
We're hanging in there today.
I got a football hangover, Joe.
Yeah, me too. Here's an interesting way to tie it all in today. What is your thought on Theo Epstein as a GM for the Bears? Jim Finks has done it. I think there's precedent there. I mean, he went from the opposite way. He went from the Bears to the Cubs. But, I think that would be a pretty interesting fit there.
I don't know. I don't know how it translates, to be honest with you, Joe. I mean, like, if you want to bring him in as a president, but then
to oversee things, yeah, right? If Ted can be the president, anyone can be the president.
There you go. That's the point there. I mean, that is such a good point. But to be the general manager, picking the talent, that's not what John McDonough did with the Blackhawks.
He oversaw the culture. He oversaw the way they hired. He saw the way they changed their business to make it all about winning and only winning.
Right.
And I'm for George is a huge Cubs fan and huge Blackhawks fan. And I would pick a brain of a John McDonough on the hiring process. He brought in, remember, it was very unpopular when he brought in Joel Quenneville.
Right.
You know, they were basically Dennis Savard. That was a bad PR
thing. Who was the GM at the time? Was it Talon?
It was still Talon,
okay.
I believe, yeah.
I mean, and Talon did a pretty nice job.
Really good.
Building that, the future of that roster.
Right. And if I'm George, I go to Theo. And I say, look, how do I find this guy? How do I find you in football? Can you help? Can you advise? Can you? If he was announced tomorrow that Theo Epstein is the president of the Bears, I'd be happy. But I don't think this is feasible or likely. But if I'm George, I would certainly pick up the phone and talk to him about the process.
Yeah, I don't want Theo picking my next starting left tackle, with no disrespect meant to Theo. But if he's inside your organization, I don't care if you're a sports organization or your business. He's got a pretty damn good track record.
Right. And Theo and the way baseball guys, when he came along, starting with Oakland and Billy Beane and with Moneyball and everything, they thought differently of baseball. They started thinking differently. And it's a way you could pick Theo's brain. Hey, I'm George McCaskey. I need to think differently on the way we do business here. Where do I start? Who do I start with? I don't think that's a bad phone call to make.
Little consultant fee in the process?
Sure. Yeah, maybe do it for
cash.
The...
You know, he's not getting that $10 million this year,
which
is going to save the Cubs, everybody.
Look, I'd rather have him call him than another old-school football guy who's been retired for 15 years. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, listen, at this point, I'm open to anything because the past hasn't worked.
Dre in Denver, you're on ESPN 1000. Hi, Dre.
Hey, I have a question, quick question for Tommy Waddle, and then I got a little comparison. Waddle, has the defense ever want to beat the offense up during the game?
Oh, I know that when Richard Dent was angry, I left the field as quickly as possible. And Rich had every reason to be pissed at all of us because we didn't hold up our end of the bargain.
So that animosity can happen.
I am shocked, Dre, that this defense has been as patient with this offense as they have. I guess Eddie Jackson had some words. I don't want to, you know, I don't know exactly what was said, but I guess the message was about accountability. And if it wasn't directed at the offense, it should have been.
Okay. Now, here's my comparison. Here's my statement or whatever. We blame Ted Phillips like the other call. I blame myself, you know. This reminds me of that movie, 50 Shades of Grey. You know, the Bears are a nice, like the lady, she thinks she was marrying this nice, or getting with this nice doctor, this handsome guy. And then all of a sudden they go out, and the next, you know, he likes whips and likes to be, you know, dressed up he likes to dress up as the gimp, you know. That's what the Bears are doing to us, man. I mean, we set out to cook for the games. I flew down to Atlanta a couple weeks ago for an outside game event. You know, then they do this to us. They take us in the back room and pull out whips and chains and start beating us and telling us to like it. And then,
Dre,
all of
it
a sudden,
seems like you just keep coming back for the games, though, Trey. I think that's it. I think it's commentary about you, my friend.
When are you going to say your safe word?
Yeah.
We're getting used to getting beat.
That's
we're getting used
word.
To all these. We're just getting used to this crap, and they're just doing it to us over year after
Dre,
year after year after
Dre,
year.
Dre, how long have you been calling the show?
Years, man.
Like,
years.
Like,
and
over
it's been
a
the
decade,
same
right?
Thing over,
You've been calling
over and over again.
I never thought that Dre in Seattle, now Dre in Denver, would ever quote 50 Shades of Grey. I didn't think you were that guy.
Me neither, but I'm looking at why am I so angry after this game last night? Why am I so mad? Why am I so upset? And I blame myself for picking the wrong guy.
Yeah, it's like,
picking
Dre,
the wrong team.
I felt the same way. Like, I feel a bit demoralized, a bit dejected. Anger is not my top emotion right now because this is the same thing
because
I've seen
over and over. Because you're used to it, Tommy. You're used to getting beat. You're used to getting beat. You're used to going in a room and getting whipped all the time now, Tommy. You're used to it.
Yeah. I don't anticipate ever having a craving for it, Dre, like you. I got to say, there's no odd feeling of satisfaction from it at the moment.
Man, I'm just through. What can we do? What can we do?
That's your best call, Dre, right there. After
Thanks,
all the
buddy.
Years.
Take care,
right,
guys.
See you, buddy.
Pat in Barrington. Pat, you're on ESPN 1000.
Pat. Say
Patrick in Barrington. Harding in Charlotte. Another guy who's been calling us no matter where he lives. He moves across the country, and he still loves himself some Bears.
And 50 Shades of Grey? No, Harding? No?
No, I don't know anything about 50
okay.
Shades of Grey,
All
and
right.
I'm starting to question my love for the Bears now. So, guys, the last caller actually touched on what I was going to call in about. When we look at the predicament we're in, it's almost self-inflicted because we're speaking from a point of passion, and the Bears organization is speaking from a point of business decisions. So until we start speaking the same language, and maybe COVID is a silver lining here, we need to speak with ticket sales and season tickets, because when you make a decision that you could have done blindly and you end up – Mr. Trubisky may be the worst draft pick of all time, and I'm not saying from a talent perspective. I'm saying for what your team could have been and what resulted from the individuals you passed on. So although I'm not keen on the Theo Epstein idea, I would love for him to be a part of how the decisions are made. Not necessarily him making the decisions, But when Ryan Pace doesn't go to dinner with Deshaun Watson and he tells Patrick Mahomes he's going to draft him and then doesn't draft him and keeps it a secret from the head coach, there is an issue.
Right.
There is a serious lack of accountability because of ego. So if I can get somebody in the building that understands how do we make these decisions, how do we analyze certain situations to make the correct decision, I'm going that route. I don't care if he's a doctor. I don't care if he is filling a potholes in a Chicago street. I don't care. If he has the skill to do that, that's who we need to bring in. Because we're looking at this, when a team can market 35 years for one Super Bowl and they can market that to the city and we're still selling out stadiums, there is a real issue with us. That's my call.
Harding, I mean, listen, I'm never going to tell people not to go to a Bears game. I'm not going to tell anybody in this day and age, and when you can go, how you're going to spend your recreational dollars. But I do believe the change was finally enacted with the Bulls because, and I may be wrong, but that's just my perspective. Finally, it got to the point where people weren't renewing ticket sales. And, you know, every year, regardless of what the Bulls' record was, you can count on them to be 1, 2, or 3 in attendance, correct? Am I right about that?
Yes, yes. Oh, and they led the league for years.
Okay, so, like, what was the final impetus for change that actually, that enacted change?
There were empty seats like I've never seen at the Chicago Stadium or the United Center.
Again, maybe I'm off. But it seems odd, doesn't it, that finally, when you have a bunch of empty seats and there aren't butts in the stands, and the revenue, the cash register isn't ringing like it once was. Isn't it ironic that change takes place?
Seems like a hard ask. You know what I mean? Like, because there,
you're right.
There are.
It shouldn't be up to us, right, Abdallah?
Well, no, but I'm saying, like, with the Bulls, they're asking people to get season tickets now. The waiting list for Bears season tickets is 10 miles long.
I'm with you.
So I don't think it's going to. And even if people that don't have tickets don't go to games, they sell them to people that are coming in from out of town because the NFL, people travel to games, and Chicago's a great city to come and see a game.
Yeah, I don't. Like, I've always been reluctant to suggest that angry fans will ultimately force the hand of ownership. I just don't believe it in this era with the economics as they are. Now, that economic situation has been upended a little bit because of the pandemic, but I'm not a believer that is actually a mechanism for change as much as maybe it was years ago. It finally got to that point with the Bulls, and you're right, Adam, the Bears are an entirely different situation. That's a 60,000-seat stadium as well. Like, the Bulls have a big arena, right, comparatively?
Yes, yes.
The Bears have one of the biggest arenas in the NBA.
Sure.
So, you know, I mean, it's hard to compare the two and think that, well, Bears fans should do what the Bulls fans did. No.
There's 10 games for the Bears to fill. There are 41 games plus exhibition to fill for the Bulls.
That's why I don't think that, you know, not buying your tickets is going to force any type of change. If you're the NFL, it's a different ball game.
Harding hit on the process. I mean, think about the process. Bruce Arians' word is they were frowned on him. And instead they hired Trestman because Bruce Arians didn't want to do management's fake press conference during the interview. Chris Ballard didn't get hired because he wanted to get rid of Cutler. Pace wasn't allowed to hire his first coach. And Pace hid from that very same coach that he was drafting a quarterback. You look at those four things that I just gave you as an example. Those are flaws with the way they do business with process. You have to change that at the top.
Listen, if you do things in an odd manner, but it works out, you get away with it.
Yeah, you're
quirky. You keep doing it.
You're a quirky genius.
Right, but when you do things in a different, quote-unquote, manner, and it doesn't work out,
yeah, you're just a failure.
Yeah, I mean, that's just the way it is. And
312.
Do they have an appetite for change? I don't know.
I want to ask you about your appetite. It's something you brought up a couple times during this segment about your passion and your anger level is lower now because it's the same thing. And I want to throw something at you that could bring something out of you. That's coming up next.
This is Waddle and Sylvie. Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Sylvie and at ESPN_Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000.
All right.
You know, Waddle, you were saying that you're not apathetic, and I know you're
not. No, I'm not.
Because you're, like, it's still, you still watch, you still care.
I'm pissed, but I mean, like...
You're tired of being pissed. You're tired of being tired, aren't you?
Yeah, I mean, it's just... It's not that I accept it, it just, but, like, I expect it.
Yes. So, what would it be like for you, who's mired in this, where you know that, like you said, this doesn't go back to 19. This goes back to those few games left in 18, even.
Yeah.
Where it failed. And you've been documenting this nonstop 30-plus game run.
To the point where I'm sure I've angered people.
No, because it's not on you, it's them. But you've been on the forefront of this. So what would it be to you if they did the exact same thing over again next year? Like, yesterday was...
It's not going to get any better. I hate to say that.
Say it again. You would go insane.
Yeah, it would be... I mean, it's the definition. If you told me that 2018, okay, went the way it did, then you had a few injuries in the second half of the season offensively. Maybe they made adjustments to your adjustments, and you're like, okay, 2019. Everybody has adjustments to what they see, okay? But 2019, we saw them adjust to the adjustments, and we saw progress in there. I didn't see any of that, and that worried me, and I told you that every week in the 2019 season. Like, so this isn't like... Well, it's just one bad year or extenuating circumstance. No, I mean, this is what they are and who they are. So to think that magically 2000, like, it, okay, we're going to let the same group. And again, I'm trying to not to, it's not something that angers me, but to think that the same group is going to get another. Listen, Ryan Pace has done some nice things on the defense. He has pretty much done everything, hasn't he, in terms of the quarterback position? He signed one as a free agent, Mike Glennon. How'd that go?
Terrible.
He moved up and draft one in the second overall pick. How'd that go?
Wrong guy.
They traded for Nick Foles.
Oof.
How's that going? Those are the only three avenues that you can use to bring in a quarterback. You've exhausted them, and you have not hit the nail on the head in any of the three opportunities or options.
I was getting tweets from listeners saying that them watching the game was almost yesterday emotionless. Like, they just, like, it wasn't exciting to watch last night's game.
My wife,
can you imagine if you bring them all back next year?
Well, that's my point is, and look, to think that it's going to change, that's been why I've harped on the fact that this isn't a rut. You're thinking that, okay, they're just, it's the quarterback. I told you when they made the change, week four for the first start for Nick. All right, Matt and his group of coaches, they've got 12 weeks to prove that their plan, or 13 weeks to prove their plan works. You've changed the coaches. You got rid of Harry Hiestand. You got rid of Mark Helfrich. You brought in your guys. Fine.
All guys who have been fired in the last 2 years.
You brought in your quarterback. You traded for him. You gave up a fourth round draft pick and gave him $21 million. You got your guy. Fine. Right?
No draft capital.
Now, like, Mitch can't be your excuse anymore. And again, I'm not defending Mitch. I'm just saying, but you can't use Mitch as your meat shield any longer. So I just, like, I'm a patient guy. You know I am. And like, I don't take it lightly to call for anybody's job, because I think it's really hard to win in professional sports, and to stay on the top of the mountain, it's even more difficult. But, like, to think that this is going to change, and I've got friends, some of them are up at Hallis Hall, and I like George, and I agree with you. I think George wants to win desperately. But if you really think that this is going to miraculously change offensively, I think you're spitting in the wind. I mean, I've got too much of a track record here. And a track record in the NFL is different than a track record in Major League Baseball or the NBA, because the periods are shorter, the careers are shorter because of injuries and other issues. Like, you've exercised every avenue. You signed one as a free agent. You drafted one. You traded for one.
You've done everything.
You have changed coaches.
You're not the answer.
You changed coaches.
Right. You've changed assistant coaches.
You've changed assistant. It hasn't worked.
You've changed play callers. It's not getting better.
I wish it would have worked.
The bye week isn't going to get better.
No. And you, like, I'd hate to be a defensive player in there, and they're not totally perfect. But you have wasted a defense that could have helped you compete for championships the last two-plus years. And again, your time periods in the NFL are short because of injury. So this defense, you're lucky if you get a 3 or 4 year run with the same group that can be, you ain't going to be dominant for all 3 or 4 years, but you can win with these guys. Like, that team held the Vikings to 19 points last night. Like, they took the ball away a couple of times. You got to win that game.
It was a good formula, except the offense. Again, guess who called into the show as a listener wanting to react to one of the top stories of the day? It's big-time NBA reporter Nick Friedel is calling Waddle and Sylvie.
I can use your laugh right now, Nick.
Oh, my God.
Oh, Eric, that warms my heart, brother.
I was sitting on hold thinking of why you guys make the big bucks, because I'm thinking how many hours of your life you have spent discussing mediocre and bad Bears teams over the years.
Yeah, but this is still bad. Listen, we're not digging ditches in the freezing cold weather, Nick. No, so we're lucky
question.
People.
But you absolutely are, but you're great at what you do, because it's the same topic as it ever was.
Every
the
year,
Bears,
Nick, right?
Think they don't have a quarterback. Rinse and repeat. It's so bad. It's just so bad. I was sitting here cracking up before I even got on because I'm just dying. I was taking a break and getting ready for this draft tomorrow, which is going to be interesting because I've never seen less buzz around the league for what's coming tomorrow night. But I wanted to call in quickly and just thank Theo as a fan. We're getting so lost in the Bears being a joke again and again and again. Theo Epstein is the best executive of my lifetime for a team that I've ever cheered for. And I can remember years ago, I was on Cap Show, the TV show, and I was on with Theo. And I said to him, look, my grandma's 85. Even if I think that you're doing right by rebuilding and trying to get the pieces in, what do you say to fans that are trying to celebrate and get behind this team right now? And he said the same thing that a lot of his executives say, which was stick with us, it'll get better, it'll be there over time. And I was sitting next to Gordon Whitmire. Gordon goes, well, what do you say to grandma? Yeah, turns around and he goes, tell grandma to just keep chugging her vitamins and it'll be okay and we get there. And he was right. And so no matter what happened in the last few years and what happened, I hate some of the things that Ricketts has said and done over time, and there is nothing I hate more, guys, as you well know, that the fact that they kept raising ticket prices as the Cubs were tanking back in the day. But credit to Tom Ricketts for hiring Theo. And credit to Theo for delivering a World Series, because no matter what else happens, we'll always have 2016. And in the moment in time, as pissed off as everybody is about the Bears, as a fan, I just want to make sure that Theo is getting his due, because the Cubs were a joke, complete joke before. He set the culture. Who knows what happens down the line, but no matter what, they'll always have that moment in time, and the person who made it happen is Theo Epstein.
Well, the thing about it, Nick, is we've weaved the two stories together today. Like, think about if we had a football team who built something where they would get to the postseason 5 times in 6 years and win 1 Super Bowl and go to the NFC Championship 3 times.
You'd be the Saints.
Think about how great that would be received here. And it wasn't perfect in the end, but sustained runs and at least hope going into every single season that this could be the year is something that we'll always remember.
No question. And that's why Theo is the one who deserves that credit, Sylvie. And you and I have talked about this for years and years, but it is something special as a fan to come in every year and believe as if your team has a legit chance to win.
But, Nick, and if you go 35 years in between championships like the Bears, you will reach a point where you are a bit frustrated. I'm just saying.
The Bears do both.
I mean, Sylvie has it right. It always starts at the top. That's going back to the Bulls. That's why it was never on. People got so lost in Gar and Pack. It was on Mike Reinsdorf.
Yeah.
It was on Mike Reinsdorf. And Tommy, you just brought it up. I mean, the difference is the Bulls started seeing people not show up. It affected the bottom line.
And there you go. Finally, he spent some money. He made the changes, and we'll see how it goes. But it always is the person at the top of the food chain. And I lived in that city for years. I still don't know what the hell Ted Phillips does day to day. I don't understand what he does. I'm waiting for somebody to explain to me what that guy does and why he's been there so long. But it's on McCaskey. Yeah. It is always on McCaskey. But all that aside, Theo is the man. And no matter what he does in the future, he will always be able to say that he turned the Cubs around when nobody else could. And I didn't want that to get lost on this day where he's out and there's all this noise around the Bears again. I mean, Theo Epstein deserves every bit of praise that will come his way. And as a fan who has lived and died with that team my whole life, I'll never be able to thank him enough.
Yeah, that's well said, Nick. Yep. Thank you for calling in. Really quick, in 5 seconds, who do you predict the Bulls take it for?
Oof.
5 seconds.
It's a three-man draft.
Give me a name.
It's a three-man draft, and the Bulls have the fourth pick. I mean, come on.
Come on.
I would say if they keep it and they don't try to go up or down, Halliburton, Iowa State, and Obi Toppin, maybe if he's there too, but... Guys, I'm telling you, in all these years we've been talking about the draft, I have never, ever seen less buzz around the league about a specific group of prospects.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I hear.
Perfect Nick, year for us to have the fourth pick. Crap.
Thanks, Nick.
Thanks, Nick.
Nick Friedel called in.
I love you guys.
Love you too, brother.
He called in as a caller, and as always, Nick can never sum up an answer in 5 seconds.
No, he can't, but his laugh... That's warms contagious. My heart.
Yeah, he's such a great guy.
He is.
All right, we'll continue to take your calls. 332-3776. You'll also hear Theo's opening statement to his press conference where he resigned. We'll play that for you next.
Waddle and Sylvie.
Podcasts are ready on the all-new ESPN Chicago app.
ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports.
Yes, sir. Lots of things going on today. Theo resigned from the Cubs. Jed has been named the president. We'll see what they do at GM, if anything, during COVID.
I see Viking Scott's name. I deserve this conversation.
Let's hold it.
I was wondering when the call was going to come.
He wasn't right anyway. He wasn't right. His team stinks.
Really?
His team stinks.
Whoa.
Cousins stinks.
He deserves a victory lap. He deserves one.
Wait, like Gruden around the Chiefs at like Arrowhead?
You'd do it to him if we won. You're the king of the victory lap, aren't you?
I don't know.
You never done a victory lap.
I guess when I hit that $1,000 basketball shot, I did go right
there
to the
go.
Nuts. Yeah.
Listen, if we had beaten the Vikings last night, I'd take a victory lap around Vikings, Scott.
Hold on. As the man leaves his position today, did you not do cartwheels down State Street?
That's a victory lap.
That's a victory lap.
Yeah, so you are the man that does
that
victory
lap. Because I knew victory was coming. That was a lap before victory was even achieved.
Well, but it's still, I mean, the victory was they signed him.
Yes.
That's pure
that
victory.
That was no fun, though. That was dizzying. I didn't realize how dizzying cartwheels can be. That was a dizzying day for sure. By the way, a lot of great people in the Twitch channel, one of our busiest days in there so far. And no shortage of news with the Theo news, with the Bears badness. We've got the draft tomorrow. And even though it's sort of quiet around the league, like Nick said, I think we're all fired up. So watch us.
I don't know who they're going
to
take and how good that guy's going to be, but I'm in.
Yeah, I'm in. We're giving Karnishevis the benefit of the doubt as of now. It's twitch.tv/ESPN1000Chicago. I promise I'll go to Viking Scott and all of your callers. I did also say that we would play some of the beginning part of Theo Epstein. So this is just him. And he sent out, if you had emailed Theo Epstein in the last day or two, Waddle, you would automatically get a reply back. That was his statement telling people that he was leaving the Cubs and that it was going to be announced today. And so he basically reiterated a lot of the things as he opened up his remarks today during that 1 o'clock press conference.
we'd been communicating and using October 2021 really as a placeholder for when we would likely execute a transition. And then, you know, this summer, it became apparent to me for a number of reasons that we should strongly consider moving up the date of the transition by a year. First of all, it became really clear that we'd be facing some significant long-term decisions this winter, decisions with long-term impacts. And, you know, those types of decisions are really best made by somebody who's going to be here for a long time, not just for one more year, and somebody who's invested in the organization for the long haul. And, you know, Jed clearly is that person, and I'll get into talking about Jed in a second. Second, you know, this summer it became clear the extent to which COVID was going to stress our business and our people, and it's affected every business in the sports world and really across the country generally. But due to those stresses, we were going to be facing a challenge of having to allocate some temporarily reduced resources in a way that would allow us to move forward and be successful. And had I decided to come back in 2021, that would have made that challenge even more difficult. Last, you know, Jed is ready to take over. He really is. He's been a huge part of all our success here. He's been a huge part of my success and my career. Jed has done the job of being a number one in baseball operations before. He had two successful years in that capacity with the San Diego Padres. He ensures great continuity. All of the terrific people in our front office and throughout the organization are going to stay in place because Jed is taking over. And you know, even as Jed represents continuity and preserves our areas of strength, I think he is also realistic about the areas where we have to change and where we have to do better. And he's always been realistic about that and always open to changes. For example, he was instrumental in the restructuring and reimagining of our scouting and player development departments a couple years ago. And you know, in short, you know, Jed is his own man. You know, he's been a loyal and outstanding right-hand man, but he has his own opinions, his own perspective, his own leadership style. He really truly does not need me over his shoulder this next year while we finish off a transition that in a lot of respects has been years in the making. So he's going to do an outstanding job. He deserves this opportunity, and the Cubs are lucky to have him. I am so incredibly grateful for the last 9 years. It's been really a life-changing experience for me and for my family. The best part, of course, has been the relationships and the connections with people that I've been lucky enough to make along the way.
So there you go. There was Theo Epstein, and we'll play you his message to Cubs fans later in the show. We obviously have a lot going on. Now the question, Waddle, becomes, is Jed like the Paul McCartney to John Lennon, or is he Ringo or George? Do you know
what
I mean?
Beatles reference. Do you mean, can he pick up and
can he
write
the great songs? Yes. Like Theo did, or is he just...
We'll find out. So. I mean, listen, the reference I made earlier, too, about them saving Theo's money, is that going to keep them from firing people?
It could. That's what some people have said, and Theo kind of alluded to that.
Well, that's what I kind of took from that. And if that's the case, that's a shame for a baseball team that's worth $4 billion.
They have fired many people, though, who make $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 a year.
I get it. In business, I mean, I would just think, again, for an entity that is worth what it is, you could find ways to keep as many people employed through the difficult times as humanly possible. So my reference was, I don't think it's going to make, and my assumption was it was going to be allocated to baseball ops. But if his $10 million is going to keep other people employed, then that is fantastic. I just don't know why Theo would have to step aside and give his $10 million up for people to keep their jobs during this time.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's go to Viking Scott. We did promise that.
Get your victory lap in.
Yeah, I thought you said you'd call 205.
I tried. It was like something happened major in sports that was really good for Chicago, not seeing that. So there's three things I want to say. First of all the victory lap is deserving because all of you had seen for three losses and a victory over Carolina what really was out there, yet everybody except Jeff Dickerson still believed they had a chance to win with that offense. And the telltale play of the season is, I think you guys got 8 yards, I want to say. So it was a 2nd and 2, and you went to Wildcat, and you had Patterson back there. So the idea of a Wildcat play is to run the jet the opposite way, make the fake so the linebackers and safety move, and then make a zone read the opposite way. What do the Bears do? They run Anthony Miller to the right on jet, and then Patterson follows him.
Scott, I get it. That's a good point. What was the score of the game at the end of three quarters?
Was it 13-10 or 13-7?
It was 13-13.
Oh, okay, it was. So, yes, yeah, so here's the thing. But then,
My point is that as bad as this Bears team is, and we have acknowledged it if you've listened to this show consistently, which I know you have because you're a great guy,
yes. Thank you.
At least offensively, like, this wasn't a vote for the Bears' offense. This was a vote for the Bears' matching up well with the Vikings and not truly believing that the Vikings were totally pointed in the right direction after winning two in a row. That's where the foundation of some of us picking the game for the Bears to win came from.
So you got your two turnovers and a special teams touchdown.
Right, instead of a defensive touchdown, which I was hoping for.
And a botched snap, and yet still somehow you couldn't muster against a team that gave up 412 yards per game, 149 yards.
We suck on offense.
That isn't such a shocking number when you put it up against what the Vikings give up.
By the way, I will say this quickly as well, Scott.
Yes.
And I've said this last week. What the Vikings have done with their defense coming out of the bye, with a group that lost guys to free agency, trade, and injury, that's what coaching is. And Zimmer talked about it coming into this week. They adjusted to the issues and the adversity that they faced, and that defense did not have their hands full with that Bears offense. Our offense sucks. But with that said, that didn't look like the worst defense in the league last night, fellas, did it? No, they made plays. That's what coaching is all about, and I just wish we had some of the same qualities.
And without a doubt, so once again, you think about how you scout against a team, and what he said is, hey, listen, after he realized he wasn't going to get pressure the first two series, he said, I have to bring pressure, fake coverages, so I can either have Harrison Smith coming on a blitz, or I can have him over the top to make plays. And you're right, because they're covering up for Gladney. Now, I will say one thing about that rookie corner. He may not be a great cover, but he comes up and tackles.
Yeah, he's good.
So the nice thing about that is you can work with a guy like that, because then you know his strengths. So like on those quick screens, he was in there within a second or two to at least bust up the play or at least force it a different direction. So here's the thing. We're still only 4-5, so as much as a victory lap, but these three games coming in at home could put us in a real good spot to get to 7-5. And we'll see what happens.
I could see the Vikings finding their way into the number 7 seed at some point.
I don't.
And at least that gives
I'll bet against
us
that.
Hope.
I'm just saying,
at least
saying,
it gives
I
us hope, unlike where you guys are headed, unfortunately.
Yeah, it's bad. Scott, congrats on the win.
Good work, Scott.
Thanks, gentlemen. I'm always listening. Have a good day, guys.
There you go. He's an awesome dude. A famous insurance salesman, insurance agent, I guess is the better way to put it, out in Northwest Indiana. In the 219, Viking 219. Scott. 312-332-3776. We've got the nuttiest story of the day.
Ooh, yeah.
More of your phone calls on either the Bears or Theo Epstein in Dan Weeder at 4.
This hour brought to you by your Chicagoland Acura dealers. Test drive the 2020 Acura MDX and the all-new 2021 Acura TLX today. Learn more at ChicagoAcuraDealers.com.
What is your name, please?
Waddle and Sylvie.
Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Sylvie and at ESPN_Chicago. This is ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
There's a couple of stories of the day. Obviously, the Bears lose their fourth in a row and look like crap offensively again. And Theo Epstein has stepped away from the Chicago Cubs. But neither of those is the nuttiest story of the day, because the nuttiest story of the day is brought to you by Screwball Peanut Butter Whiskey, A Night with Screwball.
And it's bound to get a little bit nutty.
You want to go to a fight club?
I don't personally, but I love the movie, so I'll hear the story.
More than 200 people caught at illegal New York City fight club Saturday night. 10 people were arrested at the Rumble in the Bronx. New York City sheriffs broke up an unlicensed fight club Saturday night, finding more than 200 people drinking, smoking, and fighting without social distancing at the Rumble in the Bronx. Deputy sheriffs entered the Coster Street commercial warehouse about 11:15 p.m. and found a massive crowd watching and participating in an amateur fighting event. Patrons were also observed drinking alcohol, smoking hookah, and not wearing face coverings while failing to social distance.
This is a failure in social distancing.
Who's going to make the joke? Who's going to make the joke?
What Which about one? The rules of Fight Club?
Yeah, who broke the first rule?
Exactly. Deputies also seized 2 illegal guns and a significant amount of marijuana as they broke up the party. In total, 10 people were arrested, including Rumble in the Bronx CEO Michael Roman, who faces 8 charges, including unlawful assembly and conducting a prohibited combat sport. Roman's organization maintains an active social media presence, promoting fights in cities around the country. Just Saturday, it posted a promo for a December event in Orlando, promising food, drinks, hookah, a live stream, and free masks at the door for attendees. Videos on the group's Instagram account show fights being staged in bodegas. What's a bodega?
It's a like a corner store in New York.
Okay. In the streets.
We don't have them here, but other cities do, like New York. They have them in San Francisco, I know, as well. It's like a 7-Eleven, but you can get, like, everything. And it's a bodega.
A bodega.
Yeah.
It's spelled like bode gas. Like no hyphen.
Do you want a sandwich? They got sandwiches.
I love a sandwich.
You want coffee?
You want chopped cheese? They got that.
Why don't they just say
White Hen? You need a sewing kit?
Because White Hen's a brand.
They got a sewing kit as well. Cigarettes?
7-Eleven bought White Hen. Okay. By the way, were you more surprised after the reveal in Fight Club or the reveal in Usual Suspects?
I'm now trying to access my memory for both. Probably Fight Club.
Yeah, I was going to say Usual Suspects. Both were really good plot twists, though, I thought. Sort of similar, but Usual Suspects surprised me. What
really?
About, did you guys see both? Remember, Skokie was a part of the reveal in Usual Suspects. Do you remember that part? The desk from Skokie that was manufactured in Skokie. The big reveal.
Okay.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
the Skokie reference didn't interest the Tom
Waddle. Hey, can I interest you in a bogada? Would you like to go to a bogada for a sandwich and a sewing kit?
A bogada sounds like something from Star Wars. It really does.
Yeah. I haven't seen Star Wars in a long time.
Yeah, all I hear about is Star Wars. My son.
Are there new Star Wars movies coming
out?
Well,
The Mandalorian is in its second season. That's a television series on Disney.
I would never know.
So that's again fueling the fire Boba Fett and all the. I mean,
excuse me.
Boba Fett.
Yeah, he's a character in Star Wars.
He's right behind you.
So
Boba Fett. He's right there.
Right there.
Look at the ESPN Chicago sign.
Yeah.
You see Boba Fett? He's right there.
Would you like to go to Bodega with Boba Fett?
It's Bodega Fett.
Look at the letter N. You're not looking.
Yeah, no. Why are you trying to freak me out?
Oh, the N in ESPN does kind of look like Boba Fett.
The N in ESPN looks like Boba Fett.
Okay.
Oh, I see
you
it.
You know that?
My son draws Boba Fett all the time.
Yeah, Mason would know.
Yeah,
ask
he would
Mason.
Know. I'm going to show him that. Yeah. That's good, Chris.
Yeah.
All right, 3-3-2-3-7-7-6. Let's ring up all your calls on Theo, on the Bears. We've been having a very, very emotional show today.
A bogada.
And we've talked about bodegas.
Bogada.
And we will talk to Dan Weederer coming up in 2 short minutes.
Potato.